Philemon, and you notice in the bulletin I didn't put any specific verses because we're reading the whole thing. So if you have your Bibles with you, we're turning to the book of Philemon. I'm just going to read it through. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be compulsion, but of your own accord. For this, perhaps, is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me. But how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay you, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother. I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so to Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this small excerpt of Paul's writings and his writing to Philemon. And I just pray that we can use this letter to teach us about what it means, what the gospel message is about. I just pray this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. So we have the book of Philemon, or I dub it the letter of Philemon because it's like super small, and it probably really was just a simple letter. But in this small letter, Paul sums up what the gospel message is about. That is the restoration of relationships. The gospel is about restoring relationships. In this letter, we have two men in an estranged relationship, Philemon and his slave Onesimus. Now we have Philemon, a leader of a house church group, and is also likely a landlord, or at least he's somewhat very wealthy, as he has all these slaves in his house. Then we have Onesimus, who is one of these slaves, but he has left Philemon, as said in verse 10. And he's been hanging out with Paul, and Paul's been ministering to him. Now, there's this the estrangement comes from perhaps Philemon not fulfilling his slave duties or maybe even offending Philemon. A popular theory is that Onesimus stole money from Philemon. Philemon found out about it. He naturally gets mad about it. And then Onesimus runs away in fear of Philemon's wrath. This theory is based around verse 17 and 19, where Paul talks about if he owes you something, charge it on my account. If he's taken money from you, don't worry, I'll cover him, kind of thing. Now, Onesimus has sinned against his earthly master, and in a lot of ways, this parallels the rest of the biblical narrative, as we have all sinned against our heavenly master. Whatever our sin might be, God knows about it and has every right to be vengeful because we have mocked his holiness by robbing him of his glory, by glorifying ourselves. Now, as I kind of implied earlier, the book of Philemon is a microcosm, a miniature representation of a grander thing. From a narrative perspective, sin plays a big role in the gospel message as it brings the tension to the story. For if there was no sin, there would be no estrangement between God and people. And then if there was no estrangement between God and people, there would be no need for the gospel, which is about God restoring this relationship. Why fix what isn't broken? Now, in the letter of Philemon, we have Onesimus's offense providing the tension to this story. Now we have for a while he's been under Paul's tutelage, but now it's time for Onesimus to go back to Philemon and perhaps face judgment. It is easy for us to live in fear of God's wrath and judgment because we know that we are so small in God's grand scheme of things. Much like how Onesimus feared Philemon, who was his owner. Paul reminds this house church leader that the gospel is about restoring relationships. Philemon is said in the description of him that Paul's kind of giving him some flattery about how I see you have this booming house church. You have a lot of people that are coming to this house church. You've been managing your house well. Things are good. I've heard a lot of good things about your work and so on. So then Paul says, with that being said, I want to appeal to this good character I've heard about you. And so this is why I'm sending Philemon to you, I'm sending Onesimus to you now. Now, this is where the gospel becomes profound. Paul appeals that Philemon is to forgive and take back Onesimus not out of an obligation, but out of love. And we read in verses 8 and 9, and again in verse 14, that Philemon is to take Onesimus back because of the love in his heart, and not simply out of an obligation. Paul says, I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required. Paul is claiming that, you know, there's enough authority as, you know, this popular Christian leader that I could simply tell you, you must forgive. And that can happen a lot as, you know, pastors are up here and they say, well, an important part of being a Christian is forgiving people, so you must forgive. So do it. And there are verses like in Matthew where Jesus talks about you must forgive people or God will not forgive you. And so there's this sense of obligation in the need for forgiveness. But Paul, while he claims he has this right, he wants Philemon to do this out of love and out of compassion, out of the goodness that God has given to him in his heart, and that Philemon will do it not simply because he has to, but because he wants to. If you know anything, I'm sure you all have those moments where you know, like, you were forced to do something. Fellas, I'll give you a piece of advice. Just because a girl asks you how she looks in her outfit, you don't have to answer. When I was living in Langley, I was that guy that a lot of the women in my apartment, they would ask about an opinion for their outfits. Now, with the spring season being here, it's the first official day of spring, you know the spring skirts are coming out. And they'll ask this question, Michael, how do you think this skirt looks? And personally, I think this is kind of a stupid question because I'm like, well, you wouldn't have bought the skirt if you didn't think it looked good. But social convention says, you look good. Say it like you mean it. You look good. You did not put any heart into that. It's quite frankly because I really don't care. But I mean, this is how we treat forgiveness a lot of the times. Like, I forgive you. Say it like you mean it. I forgive you. Isn't that enough? There was no heart in that. And the danger of this is that, you know, the gospel becomes hollow in that sense. The gospel becomes just this thing that we have to do. We just do it because we're told to do it. There is no real desire for me to do it. I don't really want to do it. I don't really want to live out what the Bible says. I just do it because I have to. But as I mentioned earlier, that the book is a microcosm of the biblical narrative, Philemon is challenged to act as a Christ figure for Onesimus by showing love as he accepts him back into his home. Of course, whether Philemon does or does not do this, we don't know this. It's not left for us to know. But in Paul's appeal for loving forgiveness reflects the nature of God. The gospel is about restoring relationships because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. I can proof text some more with, for a while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through death of his Son. Much more surely, having been reconciled, we will be saved by his life. Romans 5:10. 1 John 4:10 states, I like the way it says it, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. So think about it like this. God is unlike any one of us here because he's not obligated to do anything. God isn't obligated to do to forgive people. I mean, he is the almighty creator of the universe. He doesn't have to do anything. But at the same time, he still forgives human beings for their sins. Why is a question that will easily pop into our minds. Why would God do this? God could simply reset. He can constantly reboot the universe if he wanted to. That's not hard for him to do. He basically made creation with words. He spoke creation into being. It shouldn't be hard for him to do it again. I just spewed like four paragraphs of a sermon to you. It can't possibly be that hard for God to say a few words and create the universe. So then why does God go through all this work to forgive, not just forgive us, but to try and to reconcile with us as people? I like to think that it is because God loves us so much. He saw us as he made us. And in that, there is this love that he has. I have really no way of explaining this, what this is like, because, I mean, I'm not God, so I have no idea what this is like. But, I mean, it must be so great that he's willing to pay a heavy cost, the cost of sending his Son to die for our sins. The gospel is about restoring relationships, but it goes beyond this, as the gospel also redefines the relationship. In Paul's appeal, he asks Philemon to embrace Onesimus not as a slave, but as a beloved brother. This is verse 16. This turns over the social dynamics of their time, as well as our own. You could make an argument for that, as slaves were not often adopted into the family. What is more important is that between human beings, there is a fundamental status of equality between people, regardless of ethnicity, gender, class, age. But Paul is enticing Philemon to change his relationship with Onesimus, not as by the standards of the culture, but by God's standard of gospel love. The gospel is about restoring relationships and is motivated by God's love, which is so great that he has adopted us into his family. Now, without going into this extensive detail about what we like to refer to as the theology of adoption, adoption is an important aspect in the gospel, as we are not simply forgiven of sins, although that is the key stepping stone, but we are brought into God's family. We started out as enemies of God, and then we are brought into, not just as like, hey, you're my buddy, but actually as family members of God's family. We are restored, I like to think, in a sort of pre-fall status that Adam had according to Luke 3:38. If you read in Luke 3, there's this whole long genealogy where there is like, well, we're going to look up Joseph's family, and Joseph comes from a good family. He was a son of this guy, and that guy was a son of this guy, and so on. And it goes all the way back to Seth being the son of Adam, and Adam is the son of God. Now, when we read this, it's not the same son of God that Jesus claims to be, that Jesus is. It's not that sort of same. It's not quite the same dynamic in that Jesus and God's relationship was always present since the beginning. But here we have Adam has a special relationship with God, and Adam too is a son of God, even though he is created. Adam too is a son of God, and I like to think that as we are brought into God's family through the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, we are brought to this same status that Adam once had. And you can read in Genesis 2 and 3, God has a very intimate relationship with Adam. He kind of talks with Adam plainly. He's like, hey, Adam, I got this job for you. Here's all these animals. You're going to name them. And so Adam has this instruction of naming all the animals. And then, of course, you know, God does all this stuff for Adam. You know, he finds him a wife. He teaches him how to do gardening and stuff. God even comes down in the dew of the day, as is described in Genesis 3, and he just hangs out with him. God and Adam kind of just spend time together, and God's presence is fully manifest there. And there's a special relationship of Adam also being a son of God. And this is something that God is restoring through the gospel. This is what the gospel is about, that it is this restoration from us being separated from God to this kind of close, intimate relationship that Adam once had. And Jesus shows this as well. With that being said, how is this not good news? The word gospel itself is understood to mean the good news. The sort of good news that people publicly announce so other people can know how good this good news is. The good news we have is that God is restoring his relationship with us that we are not able to do ourselves. And not only is the relationship restored, but it redefines our relationship with God. God is not simply, you know, this person sitting on this throne that basically looks down upon us and says, you know, Lord's over us, and that, oh, we're just the created beings, and, you know, we're not really all that significant. No, that's not the relationship that we have, but God redefines the relationship. No, you're more than just stuff I made. You are children. I want you to be my children, just as he always wanted it, starting with Adam. That was the relationship God always wanted with us. And through the person of Jesus Christ, Christ has restored that as being not just a possibility, but a reality if we accept God's forgiveness. Lord, we thank you for bringing us into your family because you love us. Your love moved you to bring your son to die in our stead, as your enemies deserve death because of our sins. Instead of death and condemnation, you have forgiven us and have adopted us into your family. Your love is the gospel message that brings us back to you. And it brings us back to you as you restore and also redefine the relationship you have always wanted with us, that you have made us for. This short letter, Paul challenges Philemon. You know, after massaging his ego a little bit, he says, you know, I know you've been faithful to Jesus. You've been, you know, you show high respect for all the church leaders. You're an awesome guy. And if you claim to be this, you know, if you're this great house church leader that teaches others about the gospel, then you ought to live the gospel yourself. And a way that you can do that is to embrace Onesimus as your brother. And all of us here have Onesimuses in our lives. People that perhaps we'd like to lord over our superiority over them at times. And because of this, there's this estranged relationship between us and other people, as we tend to put ourselves first. And this causes tension and conflict between us and other people. And in that way, we are all Philemons, that there are those in our lives that have offended us and deserve our spite. But the gospel is about restoring relationships. The same love that God gave us through Jesus Christ ought to move us to a place where we can not only forgive others out of obligation, but to forgive others out of love, because we want to. And not only that, but embrace them as family, redefining our relationships with those around us. And embracing our new family as Christ brought us into God's family. So as Paul challenged Philemon, here we are, PGMBC, a church that preaches the gospel. And that means that we are a community who deliberately ought to restore others' relationships with the Lord through our lives and by those we embrace as we embrace one another, just as Christ embraced us when we were outcast. Let's pray.